BioBalance Health Podcast, Episode 20. I'm Dr. Kathy Maupin, founder and medical director of BioBalance Health. With me today is Brett Newcomb, a marriage and family therapist. Today we're talking about the obesity triangle.
Obesity is a concern for so many people for so many reasons. And I've had so many clients come in that struggle with their self-image and that often eat to make themselves feel better, to fill an emptiness or a hole that's in them somewhere, and they don't know how to get control of that. And there are so many psychological components to weight gain and to obesity. But in the last conversation or two that you and I have been having, you started talking about obesity from the perspective of some clinical medical information that I thought would be really good to sort of blend what we both know or both deal with about clients that have weight concerns. And so we developed the topic obesity triangle because you were talking about obesity itself as an issue, insulin.
Insulin resistance, which is prediabetes, or we used to call it low blood sugar, and then low thyroid and low testosterone. All three of those things happen in our 40s, for women in our 40s, for men usually after 50.
So testosterone, thyroid, and insulin resistance are the three legs of the obesity triangle that we're describing today and that we're going to try to talk about.
Right. And I'm not sure which came first.
The chicken or the egg?
Yeah. Well, or the bad self-image or the hormonal changes.
Yes.
But generally, the group of people that I'm addressing today are people who may have struggled with their weight generally their whole young life or never struggled with it, but all of a sudden have a change in metabolism. And they're miserable and their self-image goes down and they feel terrible about it and they feel frustrated and without, they feel like they're in a box, they can't get out.
Well, and that's why good therapists never undertake treating these seminal issues without recommending or inquiring, have you had a good medical checkup? And if you haven't had one, go get one. And then based on what the doctor tells you he's looking at or she's looking at from a physiological aspect, then we'll factor that information into our treatment plan for the psychological or emotional elements. And so I'm not as concerned as which comes first because I think they're comorbid. And and I want somebody that knows what they're doing addressing that end of the spectrum. And then I will be happy to talk to you about this end of the spectrum when we talk about behavior management and self-scripting and how to reframe the messages that you give yourself around food or consumption. But it's important to know that the physiological dynamics are being looked at by somebody that knows the science of that and has the expertise to treat it. And that is something that you do.
That's right.
And so what we need on this podcast is primarily, I think, to focus on the science aspect and the balance interplay between insulin and thyroid and testosterone / estrogen, those sex hormones that you juggle and regulate for people on a daily basis. And I know that when somebody comes to you initially, you have a whole battery of lab tests done to get data on these components. And then after they, if the decision is made that this is an appropriate treatment and they receive the treatment, then 6 weeks out, you have another battery of the same tests done so that you can measure the amount of change and identify, okay, all these things are coming into play, but something is not. So then let's look at thyroid or let's look at insulin resistance as contributing components. Am I understanding that correctly?
You are. And okay. And when after the six-week lab, we meet at 8 weeks to say, okay, what's better? What isn't better? And in my initial questionnaire on my website, in my initial questionnaire in the office, one of the things that I have people check is weight gain. And 99% of the time, people say one of the changes they've had, one of the problems they have is weight gain. And then when I discuss that with them, they may not look obese, but their body mass is elevated from what they used to be. You see much more concentration of belly fat in the central area, especially in women, their breasts are larger, longer. I usually call them, you know, you become a 36 double long D, you know,
gravity.
Not gravity, mm-hmm. but it's also just fat. Breasts are partially fat, of course.
Fat tissue, sure.
And then belly fat. And belly mm-hmm. fat is dangerous. It's dangerous for our heart. It's a sign that we have, we're going to have elevated cholesterol, that we have more inflammation in our body, and that we are going to consistently keep gaining weight. So I look at the patient, I talk to the patient, and I look at their lab work. And if this is one of their concerns, which it generally is, then we go over their hormones. I replace what's missing, mainly.
So this is an initial consultation, or this is 6 weeks after treatment?
Initially.
Okay.
I generally talk about diet and.
You assess all of that.
All that holistically, okay. Looking at every area that can, and that's almost every area of your body.
Yeah.
That is related to your hormonal changes. Then I give expectations of, when I give you testosterone, you will become leaner. You may not become lighter because fat,
that's an interesting distinction.
That is, there's a lot of fat. I'm using my hands because I'm Italian, because that's how I talk. But I mean, we're talking a large amount of fat equals the same weight as a very small amount of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your testosterone back.
Which is heavier, a pound of feathers or a pound of steel?
Steel smaller.
Yeah,
the same
exactly.
Way. So you may notice, my patients generally notice, either their weight doesn't change or their weight, it goes up a tiny bit and then starts coming down, okay. Because they gain muscle.
All right.
And I tell them they have to start exercising to help gain that muscle faster, to become leaner faster. But as
I age, my chest has fallen. If I were to receive your treatments, would my chest get back up where it belongs?
Yes, because you'd get more muscle and you'd get less fat. And muscle sticks to your chest wall.
Yeah.
So you will appear smaller. Your size will be smaller. You should lose belly fat.
Well, and that's for men and for
yes.
me, but you also talk about women who have a complaint or a condition that you call old lady stomach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have old lady estrogen.
Uh-huh.
Now that means estrone. That's what it's called. It comes from the adrenal gland. It doesn't come from the ovary. So when testosterone decreases from the ovary, estrone elevates.
Increases, all right.
And men, same thing, as testosterone drops, estrone goes up. And what that does is that gives us a belly full of fat when we never had that before, central obesity. And that's a relationship between these two hormones. When I give testosterone, the estrone drops and the testosterone goes up. So not only do they get more muscle, but they lose belly fat.
Okay.
Now, what I do is not a diet.
Right.
It's to bring you back to a healthy weight. You still have to exercise and eat a low-carb diet. Because the minute you get estrone and that change takes place and your testosterone drops, even when we replace testosterone, you still become insulin resistant. Aging causes your pancreas to be more sensitive to carbs, and a low carb diet is the only thing that's going to work after 40 something.
Okay.
So you have to eat often.
So carbs are starches.
Carbs are starches and sugars.
Like pasta, potato.
Mostly is it grains.
Okay.
Almost everything that's made of grain. Fruit and vegetables, except for potatoes, are generally safe in pre-diabetes. So you can have as much fruit and vegetables as you want, and you should eat fruit and vegetables. But all of the other carbs should be controlled so that you eat less than 25 grams of carb per feeding and you eat six times a day. Now, eating doesn't wow. mean sitting down at a meal.
Yeah.
Eating means a handful of nuts or a power bar with less than 25 grams of carb in it. But
So fried okra is better than fried potatoes.
Right.
And fried is okay?
And fried's okay because I'm not counting fat. You don't count mm-hmm. fat or calories, but just I promise carbs. You can eat a lot of fried okra, but you can eat a lot of fried potatoes because yeah. the carb makes you hungrier and hungrier as
yes.
you're eating. It doesn't satisfy you.
Yeah.
If you take the carbs down to 25, and that's a magic number for everybody, because at over 25, your insulin soars.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how insulin works. Insulin goes way up, and then you take all that blood sugar you're making out of your food, and it goes out to your cells, but insulin resistance means it can't get in. The insulin carries blood sugar into the cell.
Mm-hmm.
If you're insulin resistant, which is what happens when you're aging, then it bounces off your cell. So you can't make energy. You're tired. Mm-hmm. You've eaten all this. You get fatigued, and all that blood sugar has to go somewhere, so it makes
fat. Turns into fat. Yeah.
So it gets stored. So when you eat a lower carb diet and you don't have that surge in insulin,
over time, you become more sensitive. So what does glucophage do then? If somebody is taking something like that, how does that work chemically to help?
In my pre-diabetics or early diabetics who I need to control blood sugar, keep it stable, and control that surge of insulin,
mm-hmm.
it actually makes the blood sugar penetrate the cell. It makes the cell sensitive to insulin. Okay. So it
overrides the lock.
Right.
And lets, okay.
Right. I describe it as being porous, like having something like a sponge rather than a wall or a rock.
It's a semi-permeable membrane.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And then the blood sugar and the insulin together go into the cell and make energy. So glucophage is the only drug. It's usually used for diabetics, but it's the only drug for pre-diabetics. And it works.
That's funny because I talk to my clients about intimacy being a semi-permeable membrane. When you have a wall up, people can't get in. Right. And if it's semi-permeable, then there's access on demand or at need that right. just happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're describing with the sugars and the insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So in your office, do you have a dietitian that works with your patients, or do you do most of this yourself? Do your nurses do it? How?
I'm going to be in the near future offering something called Take Shape for Life, which is pretty self-monitored, low-carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it uses Metafast, which is a medically proven low-carb diet. Uses shakes and different bars and food just to make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I talk to patients about carbohydrates, what they are, and 25 being the magic number, and reading the labels. And because they're setting out on this new life, I ask them, that's their part. They mm-hmm. have to do that. They have to eat something 6 times a day that's not high in carbs. They have to drink a lot of water, and they have to start an exercise program as soon as they get enough energy to do so. That's their part. My part is
mm-hmm.
giving them the testosterone and the hormones they need to actually be effective. Because you could do those things. If you don't have testosterone, if your thyroid's low, then if you have terrible insulin resistance and I don't give you metformin, then you could diet all your whole life and you would never get anywhere. Your body would just shut down.
And you become so frustrated with yourself and the whole issue of willpower and inevitability. I mean, people get really depressed because no matter how much they starve themselves, they're not losing any weight.
Right. And my goal is to get people to ideal weight. And some people come in and they always have exercised. They're mm-hmm. exercising all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to eat right, and all they needed was the testosterone.
Yeah.
And all they needed was the thyroid. And then there's other people who have just given up, and they've gained a ton of weight.
Mm.
Now, it's going to take a long time for them to get to their ideal weight. It's not going to happen tomorrow. Right. And when they call me up in 2 months and say, I haven't lost weight,
right.
then my comment is...
You have to reassure them.
Yes, yeah. that yeah. We talked about this being a long time process because it took a long time to get to the weight where you are. And so maybe I don't have the testosterone high enough, or we're going to check the levels. Maybe you're eating
or the
things.
Thyroid to,
Oh yeah. I check the thyroid before and after the pellets just to make sure nothing is changing, to make sure if I put someone on thyroid that had been previously undiagnosed, that their metabolism is really running
mm-hmm.
at the right rate. Now let's talk about thyroid for a second, because I use natural thyroid, Armour thyroid, which is cheap. It's pig thyroid, believe it or not. And it is even
as in
though,
male chauvinist or as in the
as end? In well, those are the people that say it doesn't work. There's a lot of those guys out there that are physicians that were never trained with Armour thyroid that say it doesn't work because they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drug that's synthetic called Synthroid, but so many people can't metabolize it, can't absorb it, that they take it, but the lab looks
anything.
Better, but it's not doing a thing.
It's like a placebo.
Right. So if you have low thyroid, you have generally high cholesterol, unless you're taking a cholesterol-lowering drug. you generally have gained weight. You generally are somewhat hairless, or you're losing eyebrows, you're losing head hair, and generally pubic hair and hair on your arms and legs is gone as well. I mean, especially for women. And you are constipated, you bloat easily, your hands swell, your whole body swells, and you feel exhausted. So those are pretty much the thyroid issues. Some of those cross over with testosterone. So not all of those are going to be just a thyroid problem. Right. However, when I have those symptoms in a patient, I go over previous history of thyroid problems. I look at their neck. I feel their neck to see if they have a goiter, because that can also be enlarged. And even if their thyroid test looks good, if they have a goiter and they have all these symptoms, I don't care what their test says. They have low thyroid. So I then have them do basal temperatures. And this is the old way to manage it. This is way before I was even a physician. The lab tests were very hard to get and expensive, more expensive than they are today. And we would have people do basal temperatures in the morning before they got out of bed and before they drank anything. And if their temperature was below 98, then they had low thyroid. Usually their pulse was low as well, but not always. So we would check the temperature, and then we would take Armour Thyroid and start at 60 micrograms or milligrams, and then start adding by 30 milligrams or 60 milligrams and going up until the temperature actually reached 98.
And that's important, because if your temperature's not in that range, then the enzymes that your body generates don't work.
They don't work.
They can't turn on.
We're all warm-blooded for a reason, because all of the enzymes in our body work when we're warm. When I was in organic chemistry, is all about what happens inside our body. We warmed everything. Nothing in our lab worked without being heated, because every organic enzyme reaction and every chemical reaction needs heat.
So what we're talking about today is the obesity triangle, and obesity can be the trigger of concern that brings them to your office, or it can be a side effect of other deteriorating systems that you treat, and then you get a secondary gain because your weight begins to respond at the same time that your sense of self begins to improve and your sex drive begins to come back, and your mental acuity and sense of well-being and availability for intimacy. I mean, all these things change. And so it's constantly a question of adjusting balances and asking which comes first, the chicken or the egg. And so you juggle all of those balls in terms of the needs of the individual patient through your clinical interview and through the lab tests that you do.
Right, and follow up and seeing how they've progressed. How has their weight progressed? Because all those enzyme systems, those are partially burning calories.
And
using your insulin properly. So all of these things have to do with your metabolism. So testosterone increases metabolism, so does thyroid, so does insulin sensitivity. So all of those things come together to give you a healthy organism, healthy person.
So as far as you know then, and this is somewhat of a self-serving question, but it's important to ask, because I think it's very legitimate and a point that needs to be made. As far as you know, you're the only doctor in this region that is practicing medicine this way. This is a specialty that you have evolved, and in the course of that, you've discovered that other doctors in other parts of the world are beginning to look at the same questions and get the same answers. And so there's a new board certification on reverse aging that you're in the process of acquiring. But you bring the whole package together in one place in a unique way that other doctors don't offer.
That's right. And that's why I'm writing a book about it, so that I can at least give people hope that aren't in my region or don't know about what I do. And hopefully that will educate people on what the possibility is for them, and then have other doctors come to me to be trained in how this works. Because it works. It's amazingly successful, amazingly positive,
but they have to think outside of the rut or the box that they've always been in and be open to these new ways of looking at it.
I think maybe in 20 years,
Yeah.
This will be how medicine's.
Yeah, but in 20 years, I'll 20 be years, 80, we'll be, not yeah, 60.
We'll be
yeah,
too so. Old for this. You always have to look at the timing for how old you are and is it applicable? And I don't want to wait 20 years.
One of the things that we always ask people if they have questions to get in touch with us, and we'll try to address them in other mm-hmm. podcasts. And we did get a question a few podcasts ago from a couple in another state that were saying, is there a doctor in our area and that you could refer us to who knows these things? Those networks are beginning to be established, and doctors are beginning to learn who does this and who doesn't. But one of the points that you make is that you have people that come from all over the United States and from foreign countries on a regular basis into St. Louis to see you for these treatments because you are out there at the leading edge of this, and you have mm-hmm. been more established and more experienced in doing it.
And I have a great website mm-hmm. Marketing manager, and
which
Raimondo,
doesn't just market you,
no, markets,
but also makes the everything. Science available for people that want to follow up and look at what is the data that is out there.
Right, and you also mentioned science, and one of the questions I get when people either call or are worried about my therapy is this scientifically researched? And then I pull out, I mean, I have tons right. of medical research. It's just not in one specialty. It's in multiple specialties, right. mostly from Endocrine Society, but endocrinologists don't do testosterone and estrogen. Mm-hmm. They do something else. Mm-hmm. So usually diabetes. And there aren't enough of them anyway. So basically, I have on the website, and we'll have in the book, my bibliography or all the lists of all the medical articles, so that if patients come to me and say, well, my doctor doesn't believe that there's anything out there, or they say there's no articles, then I refer them to the website, or I will refer them to the book where they can look up these articles.
And you also have on your website a lot of testimonials from satisfied clients who say, my life has been changed. And they can check those out as well.
I need to do before and after pictures because you can just see it when they walk in the door.
All right.
You can see the difference afterwards. They're just recharged.
Whole new meaning to the term afterglow.
Yes. I love the way psychologists think. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have any questions or comments about our show or bioidentical hormone pellets, please email them to podcast@biobalancehealth.com. We also invite you to visit our website at biobalancehealth.com and learn about all of our services, look at our research, and see what our testimonials have to say. You can call my office for an appointment at 314-993-0963. If you like reading blogs, then go to drkathymaupin.com. It includes transcripts of these podcasts. You can share them with your friends. Thanks for listening. This is Brett Newcomb and Dr. Kathy Maupin.
Thank you.